Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to First Christian Conroe to another well-planned worship. Hey, it is good to see you this morning. A special welcome if you're visiting. We will invite you not to stay after worship because we won't have anything to eat. And I appreciate y'all so much. We are a lovable, cantankerous bunch. We just need to admit that, right? And y'all are really, I admit I'm a little bit surprised that that we are doing so well in behaving ourselves during this. So it is good to see you in worship today. What is going on in our church family? We had another huge food pantry this week. Bobby, are we still in need of bagged stuff like beans and pasta and everything? There's a basket back there. If not this week, let's fill it up next week, because it seems as if the food bank does not have enough of those kind of essentials. We are so into the food ministry for Conroe. It is a wonderful thing. Oh, let's stand and be in worship, friends. Join me in our responsive call to worship. Our world is not what we hoped it would be. It feels like we have been in quarantine for years. And yet we know God is with us, shaping us, molding us. Even in our darkness, the light of Christ still shines.
And character produces hope.
Christ has been with us. Christ is with us. Christ will be with us. And hope does not disappoint. Ever-present God, you have called us to go and share. Spend time in prayer together. We have shared some of the concerns of our hearts, but I know there are others to share. I would ask you to keep Mary Louise in your prayers. She is not feeling well, and you know of her lung condition, and it's back with a vengeance. And when the whole world is afraid of the lung condition, we're most anxious. So we were able to get her in tomorrow, so we're going tomorrow and see what's going on. John and Tanya, John's mother, put into a hospice. Tanya. Marilyn Coyne. Who else? Kathy?
Sarah Baxter.
Sarah Baxter. Jordan. Okay, yes, of course, Jordan.
My sister, Allie.
Allie.
Carol.
Carol.
It is officially, I have been here a year. This is my 1 year.
Oh. And you've almost got us broken in too, so we're working at this. Ed is in remission. Praise. Oh, I'm sorry, Rita. I did not know that. I am so sorry to get that news. Her brother. He has been ill for some time. Well, know that our prayers are with you and the family. The Lord be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. Gracious God, as a loving Father, you watch over us and guard our path. As a loving mother, you nurture us and bring us a level of love that we can find no place else. This day, O God, we come before your throne once again thankful for the gifts that you pour out upon us. We are a thankful people. We come this day, O God, acknowledging that we have fallen far short. Help us as a world and a nation to somehow come together so that we can treat each other with the dignity that we owe to each other as fellow human beings. O Lord, we have lifted up to you those of whom we are aware, knowing that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Bless them and be with them in a way that they will know that they are being held in prayer right now. Father, we continue to pray to you in the way that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. giving gifts, receiving gifts. We come to worship to do both. We come to bring our gifts to God, and I would encourage you, if you haven't already, there are offering plates in the narthex for you. At the close of worship, please do so. And this is the gift that we receive every time we come together. This table is central to who we are as disciples of Christ. And who may come to this table? All who affirm its significance are invited to this table. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same manner, he took the prophet's cup, a cup of community and of welcome and of graciousness. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers, celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." The communion elements are in the pew backs in front of you.
Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Hey, listen, next week, y'all are in for a treat. There is a preacher inside of Joan Jackson just aching to get out. You know that when you hear her, when she does the elders, you know that she is. And I don't know if you know this or not, but her son Mitch is the pastor at First Christian Church Baytown. So she taught him well. And this coming Sunday, and Joan has particularly wanted to preach on Father's Day. And next Sunday, Joan is going to be preaching. Bill Bross is going to be leading worship. And we are going to take that Sunday and go to Louisiana. You know, our daughter Elizabeth is in Baton Rouge, and she manages a clinical pathology labs, and she has just been upside down in work. So we're going to kind of surprise her and go over and spend Father's Day with her. But Joan, it's going to be all yours. And I told Joan this. I hated to swell her head with this, but I said, Glenn Wilkerson, one of the best preachers I've known, and Glenn and Dane aren't here tomorrow, but he told me when the last time that she led worship and said something witty, and he said, you know, she's really good. And so you've got Glenn Wilkerson in your corner there. I'm going to be reading to you from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the fifth chapter, the first and following verses. This is the lectionary epistle for the week. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Romans is Paul's magnum opus. He hadn't been there yet. It was written probably from Corinth, as near as we can tell. And it was written somewhere around 58. He says, we are justified. And what does that mean? That, to me, it means our lives have meaning. The justification for our lives, the meaning which is inherent to life. Not by our works, said Paul. Paul had already tried that. He was a Pharisaical Jew, the most devout Jews that there were. He was so devout that when one of the early Christians was sentenced to death, he acquiesced, and he probably held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. Paul had already tried being a Pharisee. And when he was struck on the road to Damascus, you remember that story? He was struck by the risen Christ appeared to him on the road, and he says, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Paul had tried that sort of faith. Well, or that sort of religion. And we are not justified in that same way, are we? But by our faith, we claim our faith justifies us. And our faith is not so much a catalog of correct beliefs as it is an attitude of trust. Do we ascribe to a correct creed? Do you prefer the Nicene Creed, or do you prefer the Apostles' Creed? Hmm. and believe all the orthodox things that that creed says. And as long as we can check off the list, yes, 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 that we're Christian. No. Or rather, do we throw ourselves on God's mercy and cry like the man in the New Testament, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." Paul is saying that Jesus has given us access to God's grace. All of the great I ams of Jesus, you know, I am the way and the truth and the life, all of the great I ams point to that. And then Paul says the oddest thing. We rejoice in our sufferings. Wow. What can we say about our sufferings that we would say we rejoice in them? Well, the first thing, there is nothing like suffering to focus your attention. You know what I mean? When you are suffering, you are paying attention to the world. And while you're paying attention, acknowledge that there are powerful lessons to be learned in our sufferings. That time I've told you about my previous life, and in which I went crazy. And there was a time in those sufferings that I came to my senses. I figured out, and I'm not telling you this for your behavior, I'm just saying what my behavior told me, that I could no longer tolerate alcohol. And I was in suffering because of it. And while I was in that suffering, I came to my senses. There are powerful lessons to be learned. You see, our vulnerability makes us teachable. Suffering can also, if we will let it, draw us closer to those whom we love and who love us. And you know, the funny thing, the paradoxical thing about it is, so often in our suffering is the time where we draw back. Silly humans that we are. The next time you are having a tough time with life, rather than close your door and shut those out whom you love because you don't want to be a burden, instead, invite them into your suffering. You will be better off for it, and so will they. And suffering can give us the gift of humility. You know, I've told you, there's nothing like being strapped in an orange jumpsuit, wrapped in restraints, and thrown in a quiet room to bring you humility. And at that point, my suffering brought me a sense of humility that I could not attain otherwise. I don't advise that sort of drastic step. But when you are suffering, at least know that humbleness that you feel because you're not on top of the world, you're not making decisions in your usual way, that feeling of fragility is not a bad thing. Suffering can either push us away from God, and our lives become bitter, or suffering can draw us closer to God. I think they call that amazing grace. And you know what, boys and girls? It is our choice. That is our choice to make. Paul, in that logical way that he, that was a part of the blessing that he learned from the Pharisees. He learned to think logically. He lays it out for us, doesn't he? Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Question: are you a glass half empty or a glass half full sort of critter? Just think about that. If you are the former, a glass half empty, how do you become the latter, a glass half full? Well, I've got three rules for you. You might want to write these down. No. Begin each day with a statement of thanksgiving. Just a quick statement of thanksgiving. It could be something as a, thank God, yesterday's over. Thank you, God, for another day to clean up the mess I made yesterday. But start each day with a statement of thanksgiving. And then put your struggles, your troubles in perspective. You will have some really tall, difficult mountains to climb in life. That's just life. But don't make every molehill into one. There are some of those struggles that it's just better to say, as my grandma said, oh, and let it go. And then finally, and this is very important, turn your battle with your struggles and woes into a team sport. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Well, how does all of the above happen? What can cause us to live joyous and abundant lives in the very midst of the struggles that are bound to come our way? Paul puts it this way: God's love has been poured into our hearts. It's that simple. End of story. Okay, wait a minute. That's not right. It's not the end of the story. It is the beginning of the story. God's love being poured into our hearts. It is the middle. It is the end of the beginning and the beginning of the end. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think so. Amen.
Striving to please Him in all our Church is over. Let our service begin.
Thank you.